hand them out at the door, I just let you pick them up. I was stating that I was going to do my lessons the whole year based on these scriptures, but some of them are just real short scriptures. And so I might not do the whole week or the whole month on them. I'll just have to see how that goes. And I'm sure you don't want to hear a whole month on love. So we'll see how that goes. So we'll go ahead and do that. But many people want a change. And most people wish they could start all over as a new beginning. You know, some people find it easier if they move to a different town, like we've done, and be somebody different, you know, change, become somebody better. Because when you move to a new town, they don't know who you are. And so you can be this new person. And I did that one time when we moved to Kashmir. I was a better person than I had been. And so it's easier. And it's hard to do it when you're in the same town with the same neighbors and you come to the same church and see the same people, you know, and it's harder to become somebody different. But sometimes that's what we need to do. And that's what we've been talking about this whole month, is about new beginnings, you know. And we're going to look at the last few scriptures this morning on that. And you need to look at your life and determine, you know, do I need to change? Do I need to maybe not become a new person per se, but need to change some things, change the way you do things, change the way you treat people? You know, that's something that you can do without having to move. And when somebody comes up to you, well, I noticed you're changing, are you doing this? I said, yeah, I'm being a better person, you know. Back off, I'm going to turn back the way, you know. So, but anyway, that's what we need to do at. You know, we can change. I don't know if you ever watched the show Extreme Home Makeover. And people submitted their sad story, and they examined it and realized if they could do it or anything. And they would go in. I remember seeing one show to where it was a family that had a lot of foster kids, and they had just this tiny little home. And they went in there, and due to the restraints of the property, they went up. And they took, I think, a single-story home and made it a three-story home with all these areas, with all these bathrooms and bedrooms and play areas and study areas and everything else. And so, you know, the people got an extreme makeover, and, you know, they're taking off to Disney World or something, and, you know, they leave a single-story home, and they come back to this massive three-story, you know, house, and they're just... You know, because of what people did, you know, at no cost to them. It was all donated materials, donated time, and everything else. The bad thing is a lot of people were stuck with these massive tax bills, and a lot of the people lost those homes, you know, because of that. But they did have a chance, you know, to make over, and we can do that. You know, some people say, you know, but this house has been this way since the 50s, we're remodeling. And rip out the carpet and paint the walls and take out the green toilet and, you know, and all that, and do a new beginning. And that's what we need to do sometimes to our life. And, you know, and this is going to be the last week we're going to talk about it, but it's not the only time you can do it. You know, you need to sit back and evaluate your life. And is it a life that God would be happy with? Are you living a life based on Jesus's life? If not, then you need to change. Because it doesn't matter what kind of life you're living now. If it's not worthy of being a Christian, then you need to change. And that's what we're going to talk about today. There we go. First scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, I think pretty much everyone here is in Christ. Okay? We are a new creation. When we came out of the watery grave of baptism, when we were baptized, you know, we came out a new creation. But being in Christ, if we are in Christ, the old things our old life, our old Satan-bound livelihood is gone away. We can't live that life anymore. It needs to be Christ-centered. All things have become new. Yeah, you're the same person, you wear the same clothes, but what's inside, your heart, your brain, needs to be different. You need to think differently. You need to talk differently. You need to act differently. You need to act and walk as a Christian. Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9. These are just a few of the old things that should have passed away when we became a Christian. These are sins of the old self that should not find a way into your new Christian life. They should not find a way into this new year. And we'll be going over the other verses in Galatians 5 on the next slide. But in Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. When we became a Christian, this old man of sin, this old man of Satan and all of his deeds should have been washed away. And it's hard sometimes if you, you know, depending on when you were baptized. I was baptized, I think, when I was 10 years old, and I didn't have any bad habits at that time. Yeah, we'll just say I didn't have any bad habits. And, you know, and so it was easy not to gain new, you know, bad habits. But I understand when somebody is baptized at 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever, that you've had a life of bad habits and it's hard to kick them. But we've got to. Or maybe you were baptized at 20 and you picked up some bad habits. You know, whatever the case, we as Christians should not have bad habits. And this is just a few of the ones that we need to get rid of and get rid of that old man. Let's go on to verses 10 and 11, then we'll come back to this. And have put away, or excuse me, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge of God, according to the image of him, God, who created him, us. And we talked about this last week, okay? In Genesis, God says, let's make man after our own image. The image of God, image of Jesus. And I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit, I'm thinking, doesn't have an image, okay? But we were created in the image of them. And so we need to act accordingly to that. And especially when we're baptized and we become a Christian and we put on Christ, then we need to live as Christians. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Okay, and we've seen some of these in the New Testament that they had discussions about circumcision and uncircumcision and Jews and Greeks and everything. Slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what nationality you are, you know, where you were born, who your parents were. It doesn't matter anything anymore. Once we become Christ, once we put on Christ, once we become a Christian, we put on Christ. Christ is in us, okay? And we need to act accordingly. We went down yesterday and saw our grandson. He's in the junior ROTC program. And, you know, they're in uniform, and there's from all the different branches. And they were, one of them, they were walking off as a group, and one sat down to drink something to drink or whatever, and another one sat down beside her. And our daughter looked at her and she goes, yeah, they have to be in pairs. They have to be, it's teaching them the buddy system. You know, and it's like, yeah, that's because if they go off to battle or whatever, you know, you never leave anybody alone. You always buddy up. I said, they're starting to teach them now the things that they need to know. You know, and it's the same with us as Christians. You know, we need to learn how it is that we need to act and how to be as a Christian. And that's why we need to read our scriptures, why we need to read the Bible, because it's going to tell us. Look at Jesus and how he lived his life. There's a prime example. But Christ is in all of us. We need to honor Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection by living a life that is fitting of a Christian. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. And we've talked about this, about how we obey the gospel, how we obey the, you know, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We obey that. We remember that through our own death, burial, and resurrection as becoming a Christian. And again, we start off a new person, a new creation. And we recognize that and we honor God every day when we walk like a Christian should walk. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? A couple of things here I want to point out. And we talked about this in class this morning. One, Jesus is going to come. Jesus does not know what hour that's going to be, what day it's going to be. Only God knows. The angels don't know. Jesus himself doesn't know. God one day is going to turn to his son and say, son, go get your bride. And he will come down as a thief in the night. Okay, we read other scriptures dealing with this. Okay, we don't know when. Could be during our daytime, could be during our nighttime. We could be watching TV, we could be driving, we could be here at church, we could be asleep. We don't know when that's going to happen. It will be a thief in the night. But the heavens, go out tonight and look if you can, and see the stars, see the heavens, will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, both on earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. All the heavens, everything up there, all the stars, planets, universe, galaxies, will be burnt up in a flash of an eye with a great noise. Everything here, buildings, superstructures, lakes, rivers, oceans, it's all going to disappear in a ball of fire. It's going to all be burned up. Flash of an eye. Therefore, since it's all going to be gone, it's all going to be dissolved, what manner of a person ought you to be today in your conduct and your godliness? Think about that. How should you live your life today? Worrying about tomorrow? Worrying about influencing somebody else? Worrying about, you know, being somebody that you're not? When tonight, it could all vanish away in the blink of an eye. Continuing on in verses 12 and 13. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, we should be looking forward to it, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Again, reemphasizing what was just stated. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. I did a lot of research on this new heaven and new earth, and there's all kinds of discussions out there and what they think it is and what they want it to be. Most of them state that this new earth, where the new Jerusalem is coming, that this is going to be the new heaven, and this is where all of the Christians are going to live, is on this new earth. Okay? One place that I really liked, it was in Barnes. I was going through all the commentaries and looking it up and trying to find out. Barnes' Notes on the Bible states it this way, that it is, in my opinion, the best interpretation of these scriptures. We don't know what the term a new heaven and a new earth are. It does not tell us that that's what these are. It just says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, because what's going to happen to them? They're going up in a ball of flames. There won't be a heaven. There won't be an earth. They will be all destroyed. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what's going on. Any guess is just that, a guess. Most of the commentaries bring in Revelations chapter 21 and talk about the new heaven and the new earth, and state that the earth will become the heaven, and that's where the saved are going to dwell. We don't know. Since the earth is going to be destroyed by fire, this is just for you to think about, heavens are going to be gone. They're just, in my opinion, the way I'm seeing this, it's just going to be a black sky. You're not going to see anything. The earth is going to be destroyed by fire. Okay? If it's going to be destroyed by fire, maybe that's going to be where hell is at. Okay? This is the dwelling place for Satan. This is his domain. Why not give it back to him, or give it to him for good, forever, okay, for eternity? We don't know. Okay? Any guessing is just that, a pure guess. But it will be dissolved, it will be burned up, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. What that is, we don't know. Again, if it's a ball of fire, that is a new earth. Not a new earth as we might think of it is, but that is a new earth. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to be apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Paul is telling us that he forgets about the past. He forgets about his old self. He forgets about his old life. Why? Because he's going forward with God. He's going forward with Jesus and Jesus' teaching, this new Christian life. Forget about my past. And it's hard for us to do sometimes, isn't it? It's hard for us to forget about the things that we have done, the things that we have said, the people we have hurt. But we've got to, in order to move forward. We've got to forget about our old life, the old things we used to say, how we used to treat people. And that's something that we can do. We don't have to move to a new town or change our name, get a new identity to do it. It just takes determination to be able to do that. Why? Because of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 and 25. These next two slides are going to go along with what we just read in Philippians. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives a prize? Okay? In the marathon that we have here, the Boston Marathon, and all these races that they do, downhill skiing, you name it, auto racing, one gets the prize, one gets the first place. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. They get their trophy, they get their medal, they get their belt, they get whatever. And that's all going to perish, that's all going to rust, that's all going to fall apart. Especially when that big ball of flame comes. But we, as Christians, we run for and compete for, not compete, but we run for an imperishable crown. Okay, so let's remember that. That every day of our life, we're not competing for a promotion. We're not competing for acknowledgement. We're not competing for friends. We're competing against the devil for imperishable crown in heaven. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was so set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God on the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You think you're having a bad day? You think you are just facing unsurmountable odds? You know, just because your truck's running out of gas, your alternator goes out, you know. And, you know, he was talking about that in class. You know, you're just having a really, really bad day. Think about Jesus. Think about his last day and how bad it was. Your day's nothing. Your day is nothing in comparison. So as we're running our race for our crown of life, think about Jesus and what he had to go through. Ephesians 4, verses 21 through 24. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, capital H is there, we're talking about Jesus, as the truth as in Jesus, then you put off concerning your former conduct, here we go back to this again, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Again, we need to be willing to forget about our old man or our old woman, our old conduct, our worldly self, and everything associated with that, and become a Christian, a true Christian, and live the Christian life that we're supposed to. Act like a Christian, talk like a Christian, treat others like a Christian. And that's what we're talking about for this whole year that we need to do. Okay, we're just taking this month talking about it to where you need to look at your life and decide if that's what you need to do, that you need to get rid of these things, the old man, and put on the renewed spirit. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world that we live in. We're here, we're planted here, but do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. It's hard to do when the guy you're working with is just cussing up a storm all the time. When everything you see on TV is worldly based, trying to get you to sin, trying to you know, cutting your self-esteem down. You don't look good enough. You know, your car you drive is terrible, you know. Then you start getting envy and needing to look like somebody else and live like somebody else and drive like somebody else. That's all the devil's work. Okay. Renewing our mind and what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I had some other slides I had put in there this morning, but I guess I didn't save them, or I pulled up the wrong slide this morning, so we won't look at those. But we were going to be looking at, in Galatians 5, it was talking about the other things that are sinful, and it lists more. I think it was 17 things that it lists, as sins, you know, that we should not be committing, and then some. This wasn't a complete list. So anything that looks like sin, smells like sin, tastes like sin, yeah, it's sin. Okay? And we shouldn't be doing it. And we need to get away from those things, not just the ones that are listed, but anything that is considered sin, and live the life that we should be living for Christ. Okay? And I was just saying that this is a new year. This is a time we could do for new beginnings. People try to make resolutions to lose weight or to look better or to go places and do things. Let's make that our New Year's resolution, that we are going to be a better Christian, that we are going to get away from those worldly things, that old man of sin, and become a better Christian. We are going to live a better Christian life. We are going to show our Christianity. We're going to let our light shine to everybody that we come in contact, and that they will know that we are Christians, and they will know that we are different because of the way we talk, the way we dress, the way we, you know, do things, the way we treat people. And if you aren't doing those things that, you know, people can recognize you as being a Christian, then maybe you do need a new beginning this year. And you do need to change some things. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do, to self-evaluate yourself. You know, if you need to, ask your spouse. They'll be more than happy to tell you, you know, what you were doing wrong and what you need to change. Okay? And listen. And make those changes in your life so that you can live a good and faithful Christian life. And so when that time does come, when that thief of the night does come, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, next year, or whatever, that we can be found as a good and faithful servant. And we can get our crown, our unperishable crown in heaven. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, let us know. Let us help you. Let us pray for you. Let us be there, encourage you for this new life that you need to live. Let us know as together as we stand and sing.